Welcome to the Texas Conflict Coach radio program. If you've ever experienced or engaged in destructive or unresolved conflict, then you know it leads to broken relationships, distrust, and damaging results. Our program will help you manage and resolve conflict effectively with strategies, valuable resources, and support. Since 2009, our radio program hosted guest experts from around the globe sharing their perspectives, experiences, and expertise while giving you food for thought. If you can't listen live, then download and listen to any of our 300-plus podcasts in our library at TexasConflictCoach.com. So sit back, relax, or join the conversation every Tuesday evening, or tweet us at TX Conflict Coach.
We all have the right to feel and be safe physically, psychologically, and digitally. National Safer Internet Day recognizes the various ways in which conflict, harassment, and bullying can easily take place in our digital worlds. This episode is focused on learning how to diminish digital conflict and cyberbullying. I have with me Dan Raisbeck, co-founder of the Cyber Smile Foundation, a nonprofit organization that provides support and education for people who are affected by online abuse and cyberbullying. Dan and I will talk about the work that CyberSmile does and how people can lower the risk of becoming a victim of online bullies and learn more about keeping yourself and those around you safe online. Dan Raisbeck has worked extensively since 2010 in establishing CyberSmile as an effective educational resource in the fight against online hate and cyberbullying, as well as an intervention source. Dan formed CyberSmile following a cyberbullying incident with his young son and set up the charity as a global resource for parents, adults, teachers, and most of all, for the young people experiencing the problem. Dan is currently developing global awareness campaigns for cyberbullying education and online positivity incentives. So, Dan, welcome to the program. So excited to have you this week.
Thank you. Yes, a pleasure to be here.
So, Dan, you know, we all have meaningful stories that lead us on a specific path. And after, you know, researching your website and the various things that your nonprofit does, what is the story you want to share on your journey to educating people about cyberbullying?
Well, I think the best story that I can really think of is how CyberSmile came to be. And this was back in 2010, myself and the co-founder, Scott Freeman, both our children were targeted by online bullies. And we tried desperately, really, to try and get help, to gather information for resources, what could we do, who was out there. And at that time, there was very, very little. And this concerned us greatly, because the effect that we saw that it had on our children was you know, quite devastating. And there were sort of incidents of self-harm and those sorts of things happening. And it was really traumatic for both of our families. And Scott and myself decided that we wanted to start something, a resource for everyone, really, not just for youngsters, but also for parents like ourselves who were concerned that just couldn't find information on how to deal with situations and what technical advice was available to parents and so forth. So CyberSmile was really born out of sort of our necessity to help ourselves and to help others. And it grew from a few pages online to where we are now with a website that's completely international and has over 2,500 pages now of information and guidance and resources for people who have problems online. So it's really been sort of a labor of love for us, really, and to be where we are now. And engaging in the way that we do with millions of people every year, it's absolutely fantastic.
You know, I can't imagine how it must have felt at that time to be so alone in this process of what is, you know, the cyberbullying. I'm not even sure if it was called that at that point, but just being with your family, being impacted, your children and your families being impacted, and like you said, just like being, you know, am I by myself in this and how this is impacting our family? Where do we go? I can't imagine the loneliness of knowing, and how do I get the help? And here you are 6 years later, almost 7 years later, and how you're helping other people. And I appreciate you sharing your story with all of us there here and around the world. So talk a little bit about, before we go into some definitions, why Cyber Smile? What tell us a little bit about the name Cyber Smile.
Well, yeah, interesting. Good question. When we were looking at how various sort of non-profits and charities took on the sort of the mantle for these sort of social issues, we found that there was a theme of, if you like, them and us, a theme of fear. So, you know, when we see there was an organization in the UK at the time called Beat Bullying. And they although they didn't at that time deal with online issues, they were dealing with sort of real time bullying in schools and so forth. We couldn't get over the negative connotations of that. You know, beat bullying. What with, you know, an iron bar, stick? You know, young children who bully are often caught in a cycle of abuse themselves, and in many ways are just as much victims of bullying in their that's sort of this learned behaviour. And we were just uncomfortable with that. It had a negative connotation about it. So we decided from day one, you know, if we really wanted to engage with people, not just the people who were suffering from abuse online, but also the people that had fallen into bullying habits. We didn't want to isolate those people. We knew from the very beginning this wasn't them and us. You know, it was just us, us, and we didn't want to alienate anyone from the conversation that we wanted to have about this online issue, online abuse, and so forth. So Cyber Smile was really a name that we felt helped to draw people to us rather than push them away.
I love the way that you reframed you know, something that is typically seen as a negative connotation to something much more positive, and also looking at all perspectives, right? It's the, I love that it's not them, it's all of us. We're all engaged in that. We're all impacted, whether we're the receiving end of it or we're the ones who are demonstrating those behaviors, and those individuals, whether youth or adults, are needing the same kind of help and they don't even know it, or they don't know where to go. So thank you. I appreciate you taking that little side trip with me, because I was like, you know, that's a very interesting name, and, you know, and how did that come about? So I appreciate the power behind how y'all decided to name that Cyber Smile. So let's then talk about clarifying for our listening audience, because we have listeners from all over the world, and we want to make sure are we using a common language. So how do you describe cyberbullying? And I also saw on your website digital abuse. Not sure that I had even heard of that. So could you say a little bit more?
Well, we hear a lot of different tags being attached to I suppose digital abuse is a more broader definition of this problem. Cyberbullying, trolling, swatting, doxing. There's lots of buzzwords about what. You know, about how this problem can manifest itself, I suppose. But really, it's about weaponizing something, isn't it? I mean, the internet is a wonderful, wonderful tool. And if someone chooses to use something to harm someone, then they have chosen to sort of weaponize that. And I think that's the way I like to describe it. You know, cyberbullying, I think people think more of kids having arguments and so forth online, and bullying each other online. trolling. You seem to imagine, I mean, that's quite a fantastic name. It comes from fairy tale books, you know, and interestingly enough, all the monsters in fairy tales are, you know, the big bad wolf, the troll under the bridge. Mm. You know, when you read these old fairy tales, you know, these monsters, they're not real, and they were meant to teach children about us, about, again, you know, the monsters that you will meet in your own life in the guises of, you know, people who want to do you harm. So we found it, and we still do find it a little bit tiring to hear the different sort of buzzwords that are that are used to sensationalize this issue within the media. But I suppose we've got to give it a name, if you like. And I think, you know, cyberbullying is probably does encompass quite a lot of it. But in its essence, you know, all the different names, it really is taking something and using it as a weapon. So in a broader sense, you know, I tend to talk about weaponization of the internet rather than sticking to the tags and sort of buzzwords. But there's quite a few.
Okay. Well, thank you for that, because, you know, again, and folks, you know, when you go to cybersmile.org, we'll get into all the contact information. There's a help center, and on this help center, it actually defines some of these things, because when I was looking, I'm like, whoa, doxing? What's doxing? And then swatting? What's swatting? I'm like, yeah. I never even heard all these terms. I'm like, I've heard a lot over the time that we've done these shows, but it's constantly evolving. But I love the way, because I can visualize already when you're weaponizing, you know, using something to harm others, whether verbally, psychologically, physically, all of those things there. I like that broader term. So in terms of, you started this, your journey was because of the unfortunate circumstances of your children having experienced this type of abuse online, and where do you go, and the impact not only to your children and the results, the consequences of that. Is it just children that are youth that are impacted by this? Can you tell us a little bit of who is impacted by this type of online conflict and harassment, this weaponizing, if you will?
Well, everyone. I mean, we deal with people of all ages, right up to people in their 60s and 70s, you know, the silver surfers. They encounter problems as well, and we've had cases come in from all over the world, with people of all different ages. I'd say that I think young people tend to use the internet a lot more socially, and in a way they're trailblazing, you know, where the internet's going and where it needs to go. You know, our kids are at the front line of all this. You know, we didn't have this when we were young. We didn't grow up with the internet, and it's become absolutely integral in their social and academic development. So we do get a lot of contact from young people who are having problems, but the severity of the problems are no different for a young person than they are for a middle-aged person or an elderly person. We have a lot of people who are targeted in their professional life, and then we sort of move on to the aspect of protecting your online reputation. You know, if you're a freelance journalist and you write something and someone doesn't like it and they start an online campaign against you, you know, how do you deal with that? So, you know, the issues, the depth of severity is pretty equal, really. Across the board of age, but the major headlines and the major news tends to focus on younger people, because obviously they're the most vulnerable, really.
Well, and we now, in your example, Dan, you were talking about how your children, some of the consequences and impact. Of course, there's the you know, the emotional impact, whether I think you also said self-harm. We've seen a couple of examples on your website, even one as recent as I believe a Texas child, but I think what the media sensationalizes is the ones who commit suicide, the youth that commit suicide because as a result of feeling cyberbullying. Is it always to that extreme? I imagine that there are various levels of impacts and consequences that don't always lead to suicide. What can you let parents and young people know, and even adults, what are those other consequences that, that might be a result of this?
Well, we see a lot of cases come in, and we like to see ourselves as sort of almost like an intervention organization as well. You know, we like to be able to catch things early so we can sort of de-escalate this emotional roller coaster where people can become that they'll have something written about them online and they'll feel immediately sort of violated, vulnerable, alone, embarrassed, guilty as well. You know, did I bring this on myself? Is that really me? And we see it manifest itself in lots of different ways. And for parents, you know, if your kid's being bullied, you know, you will notice a change in their behavior. Academic achievement may start to drop slightly as they become less interested and less confident at school. Their social life may change. They become more socially isolated. They might not be hanging around with the same sorts of people. They may be becoming less open to talk to their parents about things. There are different signs, and I mean, these could mean many things, but as the many things that children do now are online, there's a good chance that it could have something to do with something going on the internet. But put them all together, and it can become quite overwhelming for an individual if they don't have an ear to talk to, a confidant, or somewhere where they can go and get advice and empower themselves to take steps to protect themselves and start to sort of control their own environment online. And it's something that we do tell people quite a lot, especially young people, is they'd say, you know, how can we stop this? How can we stop this? How can I stop that person from saying this? And you can't. You know, you have to control what you can control, not what you can't control. And we try and help people to sort of protect their online spaces and take the technical sort of options for blocking and deleting and reporting people, and not being afraid to do that. You know, we have to tell people you're in control of what you are going to be exposed to online, and your own online spaces, your social media and so forth. You have to protect those. You know, that is what you can look after. That is what you can control. And it's really sort of empowering people to, you know, take control of their own online spaces and to gain confidence in drawing lines at what they will accept and what they will not accept. Mm. And that's your world, you know, that's your online space, that's your world. You shape that how you want it. You don't have to put up with people sending you negative messages. You don't have to be friends with everybody. Mm. You can choose who you want to be friends with. You know, don't be afraid to have a clean sweep on your social media and say, well, actually, no, you're not bringing anything to the table for me, so I won't have you in my online space. And to own it, take ownership of it.
I love the reframing of away from the fear, to not let fear be the motivator, but to let empowerment, to let setting boundaries, to let making choices, all the choices you can make to control that environment. And I love that message that you are giving to the listeners. We are at the halfway point, and you are listening to the Texas Conflict Coach radio program. And listeners, we invite you to follow us on Blog Talk Radio. I am speaking with Dan Raisbeck with Cyber Smile Foundation, who is actually, you're in the UK, but you have a presence in the US as well. Is that right?
We do indeed. Yes. I mean, from day one, we picked up some good uptake from you guys over there in the States. And it's just grown and grown and grown. And last year we became, or actually, yeah, last year we became a bona fide 501c3. So we are a non-profit organization and our own entity in our own right in the States. And moving through 2017, we want to be doing more work, certainly in the States. So you've been hearing a lot more of us. And it was really a natural progression. For a number of years now, we've had a huge following in the States, not only from, you know, the public, but also from corporate organizations who sort of recognize how we are approaching this issue and find us a good alignment. So we've been doing work with the Intel Corporation, for example, and some of the gaming developers, Riot Games, and it's absolutely fantastic. You guys get what we do. You know, in England we have, I think we have maybe a little way to go to reach where you guys are with your level of emotional intelligence, which is something that, you know, emotions, the old stiff upper lip thing with the British, it's still very much alive, you know, still very much alive. And, you know, emotions, you can't show emotions, you know, just suck it up and get on with life, you know, life's hard, etc. But really, no, you have to take a step back and really have a look at what emotions are, how people manage them effectively. And this is where we get a chance to sort of de-escalate this emotional roller coaster that people can go through. It's just making them aware of their own emotional process and, you know, how to sort of handle that and bring yourself back to a sort of an even keel so that you can concentrate on actually controlling what you can control and making yourself safe and so forth. It's a huge part of the work we do. And you guys in the States, you really get it. And so our growth, in America is going to be, I think a really exciting prospect over the next few years.
Well, I'm excited for you. And, you know, we at the Texas Conflict Coach will be a big fan, you know, in supporting your work over the next few years. We just got introduced to you earlier, late last fall. And so I think we're already following each other on Twitter and trying to support that. Now, clarify for our listeners, and I'm so glad that you have such a big presence in both the UK and United States. Earlier, you referenced yourself as being an intervention organization and also a resource organization. You want to clarify any aspect of that? So if listeners say, oh, I don't want just a resource, I actually need help, can you just clarify exactly what your organization does and why would someone reach out to you from a resource or from an intervention standpoint?
Okay. Well, initially, we started as an educational charity. And this was which allowed us to offer advice and guidance in a sort of static form online. And the intervention, I suppose, comes through our advisors. We have a number of advisors all over the world who are trained to help people deal with online issues. And they all use our website, our website as the main point of reference, so people can contact us for real-time help, and most of this is done online. Most people, especially youngsters, really feel comfortable chatting online and interacting online. So in that space we offer advice on a sort of one-to-one basis with advisors that we train, and we have a forum as well, which is visited by thousands of people who either join in with the forum and ask questions, and they can receive answers from other forum members, and our advisors are on the forum as well, or just to visit and have a look, because more often than not, our forum will pop up with relevant questions that are sort of current, if you like. So people we'll often go there and have a look and see what people are chatting about, see what advice is given out and so forth. But we have channels. We have a dedicated help at channel, AskCyberSmile, which is our help channel on Twitter, and that runs sort of 24/7. So we're pretty much around the clock able to help people. And that can be by them entering into the Cyber Smile space and seeing what help they can get, and they take it themselves, or they can reach out to us through our channels, through our email channels or our social media channels, and say, well, look, I really need some help and advice here. And we'll have an advisor work with them to help them through their problems.
Okay. All right. Wonderful. Wonderful. That's fabulous that you are providing those advisors and that educational, not to mention the rich depth of resources that you have on the website for folks. Were you going to add something else, Dan?
Well, as far as the resources go, that's something that, we plan to expand even further this year, especially as new aspects of the problem become apparent. We'll be adding more and more sections to our advice and guidance in our help center to help people with some of the sort of more specific issues that are presenting themselves.
Okay, very good. So folks, listeners, you've heard about, how digital abuse, cyberbullying is really a weaponizing, right? It's using technology to harm others. We've heard about the impact and the signs and signals that might be going on, especially with youth, in terms of especially being isolated, alone, not sure knowing where to go. And this reframing of not using fear to react, but how do we empower, take control, make choices in terms of controlling our environment and protecting ourselves, whether it's our own online reputation. And certainly Dan will give us some a call to action, a call to arms a little bit later. What I wanted to do is if we could just talk for a few minutes about a couple of strategies and or resources, immediate strategies or resources in addition to what you shared. And two of them that was appealing to me when I was doing the research was the concept of netiquette, and that's N-E-T-I-Q-U-E-T-T-E, folks. So instead of etiquette, we're talking netiquette. And you also had an interesting tech tip as well that was very easy. So what would you like to share around netiquette, for example?
Well, netiquette is really learning how to navigate the online spaces where you are. And this can be different for example, social media. So if you're chatting to someone on WhatsApp or Snapchat or on Facebook or so forth, you can be fairly open and chat away as if you're having a conversation. If you are a gamer, the language is slightly different. It's they use a lot of truncated language, so they're these expressions that to some people are completely a foreign language. So it's learning the language in the space where you choose to be is really quite important. And also to simple stuff like grammar, commas. You can one comma in the wrong place on a sentence and you're saying something completely different. Use of capital letters, it's when if your caps lock is on and you're sending messages out in capital letters, it's the equivalent of screaming in someone's face to some people. So it's just these little tips. And we have a rundown of a few of the basic ones on our site to just sort of open the conversation with people so they realize that, okay, I might have to learn a little bit about the environment I'm now in. On forums as well, on blogs, there's a certain degree of netiquette. How clear are you being? Are you tagging in previous quotes so people know what part of the conversation you're actually referring to? Simple stuff, really. But if you don't know, it's easy to make mistakes and be misinterpreted, which can lead to problems.
It's funny because I was in Phoenix last week doing a training for a whole week. Of course, it's always conflict, right? And we were actually training trainers, and we were talking about, you know, when body language is missing, and you're having online communication in the workplace, and how, you know, people might text or email in big letters and capitals, and, oh, are you screaming at me? Just what you just said. But what came up in the conversation is how the use of emoticons are creeping into not just the social media spaces, but a lot of millennials are now using technology like Slack in the workplace, or maybe they are using, you know, Twitter now has Teams, you know, for Twitter, but people are bringing in these emoticons. And one of the trainers said, she goes, you know, that's really interesting. She goes, in my emails, you know, I'm always afraid that someone's going to misinterpret my request or my complaint in a negative way. So now I'm using all these emoticons, but if I don't use this emoticon the right way, then I add another emoticon, and now I have like 10 emoticons because I make sure to convey I'm not really upset or mad at them. And it was an interesting conversation about how emoticons has really changed a lot of how we communicate as well.
Yes, yeah, that's very true. Emojis, you can have your emoji meltdown and it ends up in all sorts of trouble. But They are very, very useful. And it is, you know, if you're saying something and you're sort of being sarcastic, but you don't add LOL or a little emoji, then it can be misinterpreted. So yes, it's very, very true. You know, we forget that, you know, I think it's 94 or 95, even maybe even more percent of communication is non-verbal. So what are we left with? With just the written word, you know, and that's something that we try and get over to people, you know, the whole thing about netiquette and just thinking about what you're actually sending out there is so very important.
Well, and listeners, I do encourage you to go, you know, to cybersmile.org, and you'll go there, you'll see a help, and that's where you're going to see the netiquette, and there's a whole bunch of resources there. Is there anything right now, before we start to go into our closing, is there anything you want to highlight just off the top of your mind that would be an immediate strategy or resource you definitely want listeners to know about?
I think it would probably be the most accessible would really be the simple technical part of your setup online. You know, keeping yourself safe from day one, I think it is really key to sort of setting out on the right foot and staying safe. And that's something that I think everyone should really be doing.
Okay, well then that's a nice segue into an action step, and we are beginning to close the show, and so our listeners are very well versed in our, you know, hey, I'm a conflict coach, so I always give fieldwork assignment. So what is your, as you would say in the UK, call to arms for our listeners this week?
I'd say set yourself a goal and go through your social media, go through your own online spaces and really check your security, check your privacy settings, because a lot of, especially with youngsters coming on board into the digital world, it's, you know, that it's now isn't quick enough, you know, that they've got to have the accounts open now. And you'll find with many of the social media platforms that the security and privacy isn't at the forefront of the sort of joining up process, although it's there, but a lot of young people will just scoot through that. A lot of old people will scoot through it as well and leave themselves open and vulnerable. And that's something that we really need to try and help people understand. Set out from a solid foundation and make sure that all your online spaces are secure and you are letting the public know what you want them to know.
Right. So just so that we're really clear, a lot of, especially for older adults who aren't used to it, and even for youth who, like you said, now's not fast enough, is to make sure that your settings are not open to all the public, because that's usually what the defaults are for these platforms, to change it to where there's more privacy and more security. And that's ultimately what you're saying for them to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Choose who you want to be privy to some of your personal information very, very, very carefully. And that's a big aspect of keeping yourself safe online.
Okay, great. Now, what's the best way, whether there people are in the UK, Australia, Canada, America, what's the best way for folks to just really reach out to you?
Just click on cybersmile.org and you'll find us. A Google search for cyberbullying, you'll find us right at the top of Google on that. Our website, as it's been there for now for over seven years. The content is prolific, and it's just given us a really huge footprint in this area. So we're not hard to find at all. Our social media is very much alive and kicking. And if you just type in CyberSmile, you'll find us.
Okay, great. What is it that you want listeners to know about any upcoming events, additional resources that they might not be familiar with, something that you're proud of?
Well, we have a yearly day of positivity, which we call Stop Cyberbullying Day. And this is the third Friday in June every year. And this is where we really just showcase what we're all about. And we pull in all our ambassadors and our partners that we work with, and we amplify our message of positivity. Use the internet for good. It's there for everyone for good. And it draws people, the messages that we draw them to CyberSmile, and they come and they join in our social media or they come to our site. And it's a way of making people aware of who we are, what we do, and what they can do to help themselves and help other people. It's a huge, huge day, and I think last year we reached over 300 million people. It was phenomenal, and that's our sort of yearly day where we just really do reach out to everyone and just say, hey, this is what we do, and here we are.
Wonderful. Well, we'll have that on your program page as well. So listeners, if you forget the date, we'll be there, and you can click through, and we'll certainly be supporting, y'all throughout the year, through our social media as well. Dan, I want to thank you on behalf of your organization and Scott as well, who's your co-founder, to really educating our listening audience about the amount of and fabulous work that you're doing to educate, to help people intervene, to make people feel that they're not alone and that we're engaging all of us together. I love that reframing that you're doing with how you came up with CyberSmile. Dan, what final message would you like to leave with our listeners?
I think keeping it fairly short, I'd like to say really, really think before you click. And, of course, keep on cyber smiling.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Texas Conflict Coach. We hope you've enjoyed the program. You can find over 300 podcast archived to listen at your own convenience at texasconflictcoach.com. Or download the podcast at iTunes or Stitcher Radio. To learn about upcoming radio programs and resources, sign up for our monthly e-newsletter.